Hey friends, this is We Have Thoughts. We are a podcast about movies, and we are in the middle of our, well, not really middle, we're just barely starting, our 2014 Oscar chat. Today we're discussing Kaptan Phillips. Kaptan Phillips. I'll explain that in a minute. So it was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Barkhab Abdi, Best Adapted Screenplay by Billy Ray, Best Sound Editing, Best Sound Mixing, Best Film Editing, 6 nominations and 0 wins. I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
And I'm Anna.
So when we were talking about watching this movie, I was looking up, you know, the stats and everything. And I noticed that the screenwriter was named Billy Ray. So then I proceeded to sing Captain Phillips in the tune of Achy Breaky Heart for like a solid 2 days. So that's what the song was. So you're welcome, world,
for that reason.
Beautiful.
And then I couldn't get it out of my head the entire next work day, and I came home and I was pissed. I was like, Crystal, how fucking dare you?
Joy gets so mad when she gets songs stuck in her head.
I know, that's what's
even. And it's not even your fault. It's my brain's fault. Like
that's the funniest part about it.
Really, I love it. She's like,
I tried to put a song in there, but. They're not as strong as your
songs. Yeah, songs just like adhere to your brain so well. You're like a sponge for song.
It's so weird.
So I have seen this before. Joy has not.
I have not.
Okay.
Yay.
Yay for new experiences. So what did we think of Captain or Captain Phillips?
I'm surprised that Tom Hanks wasn't nominated for this.
Girl, same. Same Z's.
Yeah. I feel like he should have been nominated for that last scene alone.
Girl.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Tom Hanks for a moment.
Okay. I love Tom Hanks so much. I think we've talked about this before when we talked about Bridge of Spies and other things.
Yeah.
But I love that man so much. He's so precious. He's so handsome.
He's America's uncle.
He's America's dad, uncle, everything. Adopt me, please, sir.
That's
when he got
my
COVID,
first
everyone
note.
Was like, no, not Tom Hanks.
My first note is Tom Hanks is an everyman. Like, he's your father, he's your uncle, he's your brother, he's your teacher,
he's your coach. Yeah.
Like, he could play any part in your life, and you're like, that makes sense. That is who he is. And like, he's, even when he was younger, he wasn't the most like super hot, super attractive, but he was a good looking guy.
Yeah.
And he's still a good looking older man. And I just find him so comforting.
Yeah.
And so incredibly talented. Like,
no.
He's not just writing on, you know, doing the same thing over and over again. I think he's so versatile, and he does so many different roles.
Right, like, he does comedy, he does drama.
I just love him.
Yeah, we love him in this on this podcast.
And I was like, I didn't realize that he wasn't nominated for Best Actor. So I was like, okay, yay, time to watch Tom Hanks be good. And just expecting kind of like run-of-the-mill acting or whatever. And then I was like, damn it, he's really good. He's really, really, really good. And like, it's no wonder that we revere him so much, because I mean, he is fucking talented.
And he's, like she said, reliable. Like, we forget that he's such a good actor until like he pulls that, like in this instance. With
yeah,
the last
where scene, he had like a nice showcase.
Well,
yeah.
Because all you want to do is just hold him and be like, it's okay.
Bitch, I was sobbing. I felt like shit.
But then he can also play such a good villain and such a good asshole. And
yeah, like when he was the Post, where he was like the.
Newspaper guy.
The editor guy.
Editor, yeah.
Like, bossy and shit.
And you think of A League of Their Own, and he was such a dipshit in that. And then That Thing You Do, he was also a hard ass. And But then in You've Got Mail, he's the romantic lead of my dreams.
Aw, see, he's the best.
I love him.
I love that man.
He's so
very much.
No.
Also, love his son, Colin Hanks. I do. Colin Hanks is great.
But isn't his other son
Yeah, we're gonna
talk about him.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't he a bit
cultural appropriator?
He like self-proclaimed Jamaican or something.
Ridiculous, sir. We know who your parents are.
He's like an anti-vaxxer, so you know.
We don't.
Even the Hanks family didn't talk about him. Yeah. What, this last whatever holiday it was like Colin Hanks posted a photo of his family's wife and his kid, or his wife, I guess, and Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, and the other brother was not there. They know what's up.
Yeah. Like, please get your stuff together and then come back.
I didn't know because Rita Wilson is Colin Hanks' stepmom, because Colin Hanks' mother,
oh, really?
She passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was Tom Hanks' first wife.
I didn't know that. I did not know
that's my man, Tom Hanks. I love that man.
That's so sad.
So yeah, did we like this movie? I think it was very, it's pulse pounding, as they say.
Yeah, it's one of those anxiety films.
I liked it, but I also have problems.
Okay, go ahead.
So first of all, the dialogue in that first scene was so rough between him and his wife. I was like, I literally wrote, it sounds like two teenagers writing what they think parents talk about.
Yeah.
Like trying to put on their parent voice. But that being said, the film itself, I think, was nicely paced. It had a really great sense of like urgency. Mm-hmm. And I watched it on, I don't know if you guys watched it on Prime, and they had it through IMDb. So it had the commercials. Yeah. So that was a bit like annoying, but I still felt like, oh, they're pacing this really well. My issue comes with the actual story. So I did some reading after I watched the movie, and the real Captain Phillips is not like he is portrayed in the film. So in the film, Tom Hanks plays this heroic captain who is actively trying to like save his crew and steer them away and like drop hints, and which I loved. It felt like adult Home Alone almost. Like, this guy's barefoot. You could break your foot on some glass.
Writing that down. Adult Home Alone.
Like,
Anna, you're a genius.
There were moments that was really fun for me. Those parts, I was like, this guy is so smart and so quick, and he's, you know, constantly thinking, how can we, you know, best them? How can we do better than them and get them? But apparently, that is not what really happened. The real Captain Phillips was not trying to save his crew. In fact, more than half the crew ended up suing the captain.
Because
he ignored warnings saying to stay 600 miles off the coast, but he only stayed like 350. Because he wanted to do it faster and be on time and get in and get out. So they're saying he put them in harm's way. Yeah. They say he was an ass. They say he was, he never tried to get them to shoot him instead of the crew. That was made up. And that there was just a lot of added for the film where the real guy was just not a good guy. And so that kind of bummed me out after watching it, because I was like, Captain Phillips, this amazing dude, just went through all of this. Like, poor dude. And then I'm like, but you kind of suck.
Do we like it when a movie Hollywoodifies a story like that? Or would we have preferred like the straight up story of him being terrible?
I mean, this definitely, I think, made for a better movie. But I think it's kind of harmful to paint this man as like a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Yeah.
And how unfair to the rest of his crew who had to actually go through the ordeal and live with the man. And he's getting all of this praise, and they're like, that's not what happened to me. That's not my experience. And he's getting all of this praise and a book deal and all of these things because of this movie.
If you look at it, it's kind of like American Sniper, where these people are praising this man who did these things, and it's perceived through an American lens as like heroic and wonderful and
patriotic
or whatever. And then you pull back the curtain, you're like, oh, wait a minute, this dude ain't it, you know? Yikes.
And I don't want to take away from his experiences. That was horrific. And what a traumatic experience. And there, the only a big difference was that at the end, the great scene of Tom Hanks like going into shock while he's being checked out by the U.S. Navy, and he's having that moment, which right there, I say Oscar nomination worthy, if not win worthy. So, and that was all ad-libbed, and that was a real, so that was a real U.S. Navy crew the whole time. The only actor was the SEAL commander, who was the negotiator. He was the only paid actor.
Wow. I remember the revenge.
But what I think is shitty is they weren't paid any extra. They were only paid their on-duty fee.
Oh, that's lame.
Right? So the end scene is completely unscripted. She was a real Navy corpsman and was told to treat it like a regular military exercise. And that's what came out.
Oh, Tom Hanks, I love you so much.
Wow. Right?
Where's the Oscar nomination?
I just want to hug him. It's
so like, I haven't seen the rest of these, and we will watch, I guess, all. Wait.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. But
apparently that didn't happen in real life. The real Captain Phillips, they said shock didn't really set in until he tried to go to sleep that night. That he got off the ship and was taken to the Navy SEALs, and he was acting fine until way later.
You know, it makes sense, because at the end, the before the credits, it says like he was at sea the next year. It makes sense if he was, I don't know. In the movie, he's perceived as such a kind character and such a good-hearted person that him going out to sea again is like, how could you do that? But if he was like a crappy person, I guess it makes more sense that he went out again.
Yeah, he went on to captain for another 4 years before he retired.
I was telling Joy earlier, I was like, can you imagine like that being your job as a negotiator? Like, that's what you do every day? Or maybe not every day, but whatever.
Hell no.
That's nuts.
The amount of stress people have to deal with on the daily, and then to have to do that on top of it.
That's just wild to me.
No, thank you.
I know.
That would not pay me enough money to have, like, peace of mind.
You know, so I read that this movie is produced by, guess what? Kevin Spacey and Scott Rudin.
Yikes!
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
That's bad.
Did I hear? I heard something today, and I might just be completely ignorant. Is Scott Rudin A24? Is that his company?
No, I don't think so.
Well, let me.
Because if. Hold on.
Hold on.
Because I heard something saying like this person just booked or just was cast in something by A24, which was Scott Rudin's production part, where he works for A24 or something.
Because that I'm very scared.
I mean,
you know, when we get farther into this, like, it's going to be impossible to not see these Harvey Weinstein productions. We've already seen many. Same with Woody Allen. These are going to be interesting conversations, and we'll talk about it more when we get there. But I'll continue while she looks that up. So
yeah, I did notice Rudin's name at the beginning.
Yes, I saw that. So I normally hate shaky cam. I feel like it makes me disoriented. For this, it was really, really utilized well because of the water and the waves and the uncertainty of like the Somalians not knowing, like, they were in control but not really in control. And so, like, and then you have to think about them, how like that's just their way of life. Like, it's, they're a victim of their circumstances. Like, when he tells,
right,
he's like, you know, maybe in America there's a choice, but I don't have a choice. This is what I got to do.
Exactly. Obviously Captain Phillips is only coming at it from an American, you know, capitalist perspective. And he's like, well, no, if you're going through our seas and taking all of our fish, well, I can't exactly be a fucking fisherman anymore because you took my livelihood, you took my food, and now I'm left with this. So what other option do you have? And that's the problem with like a lot of movies that come at it from that Hollywood perspective is like, they don't take the time to really go into the nuance of this. I think that it did a little bit. And I think that was nice. You got to know that then a little bit better, but it was like, everything he's saying is true. Like, he's not wrong about it.
I read that Billy Ray, not Cyrus.
Cyrus.
when writing the script, really wanted to portray the Somalians as criminals instead of terrorists, as they're often labeled, because they're doing this to survive. Like, it's more of a crime than it is terrorism. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
Yes, they got to do it because it's they're a victim of their circumstance. They get a crew, they wake up, get a crew and go, because that money is going to help them eat or help them live or not die. You know, it's like.
It's kind of hard to be judgmental of like what they end up doing, because you can't say that if you were in their shoes, you wouldn't do the same thing, or that, you know, you literally have to do this to survive.
Yeah. And he's like, we have to, because he's like, I can't remember exactly what he says, but he's talking to Captain Phillips, Barkov Abdi, and he's like, you know, we have to go back. Like, I don't have a choice. Like, exactly. This is what I got to do. And then, ultimately, like, he ends up in an American prison, and that's probably better than, like, going back to Somalia. I mean, because I don't know what would have happened to him, you know?
Right. Especially returning alone without...
Yeah, without
his crew.
What he said he was going to do.
So... When the pirates take the bridge, that was the first time all of the actors met.
Really?
Yeah, they kept them separated to build that tension. And so the day before filming that, the director, what's his name? Paul Greengrass, was telling Abdi, like, go in there and own it. And so that I am the captain now line was ad-libbed. And he was like...
Shut up!
Owning the scene. Yeah, and so that was the first time... Tom Hanks and them had met.
There's that supporting actor nom. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And he's just good. Like, it's good. Easy to be like, oh, he was great. But no, I think it's all in his eyes. Like, when
he's very nuanced.
Yeah. Like, though, mm-hmm. he's looking down at the tops of his eyes when he's talking to Tom Hanks in the beginning. And he's like, you know, mm-hmm. no, look at me. Like, he's trying to connect with him in a sense that, like, oh, I'm going to give you a nickname. We're going to be cool, but also kind of not, you know? Mm-hmm. All that was so good. He's so great. And I'm so happy, like, I looked it up because I wanted to be sure. He's steadily working.
Thank God.
So that's
he deserves it.
Also, he's his good. Cheekbones.
Right?
Hell out of this world.
Good for you, boo.
Okay. Update.
So what did you find out?
He doesn't run A24, but he definitely was producing a lot of A24 films, unfortunately, including Lady Bird, Fences, The Social Network, some other like big movies.
But it's not A24.
Yeah. But these, I'm saying that one in particular. Uncut Gems. So he was producing a lot of that sort of stuff, but he's not anymore. He's not A24, and he's stepped back from future projects from them. But he's not the sure. That's not his production company.
I trust A24 to like cut ties as soon as
Yeah.
Well, anyways, that's disappointing, but also good to hear.
I mean, because they got rid of the trash. Yeah,
progress, I guess.
Barkhan Abdi.
He was so good. He was so good.
I really like It was because the whole time, like, yeah, he's being tough. And like that moment where they went back to the boat after failing the first time, and he knocks that guy over with a wrench. And it's like, he's doing something that he knows he has to do in order to prove his toughness to these other people. Not necessarily in his acting, he was showing that, like, not necessarily because he wanted to, but just because in order to get ahead, in order to be successful, that's what he had to do. And even at the end where they when he's captured and he's on the boat and they're telling him, like, you're going to jail, whatever, he has so much vulnerability in his face.
Yeah.
And in the way he and in his body language and everything, and it was so good. It was so, like, such a good performance to watch.
You could feel the weight of his failure.
Of the consequences. Like, he really, even when he was in the boat and he was trying to, like, negotiate between, like, his teammate who's being a fucking dick and then, like, Captain Phillips, who, like, he's trying to work out all the, like, all the different versions of, like, how this could go, mm-hmm. and trying to still stay in control, even though he knows he's not necessarily in control. But, like, the management of all of that was just a really excellent acting.
And it shows that he is, like, he really isn't a bad guy.
No.
You know, it shows the sides of him that these aliens are like, oh, okay. So he's not, it's easy to paint him as, like, a terrible person, but he's okay.
It was a really well-rounded character.
Yeah.
So that was good.
I think the whole crew, it was such a good dynamic, because you had the really aggressive guy. You had the young kid who just really shouldn't have been there and was trying to prove himself, but then it became way too much for him. Mm-hmm. And especially because he got so hurt. And then he could see that Captain Phillips wasn't a bad guy. He was trying to help him. So he was trying to, like, also help him, help the captain. And it was just a really good dynamic and a really good group of guys. I think they nailed their jobs.
Yeah, for sure.
I really like the music cues in this movie. I noticed it the first time whenever the pirates are trying to get onto the ship. And the second that they grab onto the ladder and they get on the ladder, the music changes because they're like, this is it. There's no going back after this. Like, they're getting on, this is it. Another, I think before that was whenever the music changes, whenever they the little boat to get on there stops or the motor goes out. The music cues are really good. I felt it. I really felt it.
So I was on my phone a bit in the beginning and so when the pirates first started, when they first noticed that they were coming up, and the captain kept calling down and being like, can I push it? Can I push it? And he kept going faster and faster. I was like, you can go a little bit faster, but they're still going to come get you. I didn't realize that he was doing that to create more waves.
Until
he said something about, and I was like, oh, that's so smart. And it worked.
We don't live on the sea.
No,
sailors
or navy, whatever,
naval people.
No, we are not. But I do love the ocean, and I do love the water.
I wish I had a boat. I want to go out to the ocean.
A boat, vibe. Do it.
That'd be great.
Do it. Never,
I don't have money for a boat.
Captain Phillips.
I don't know how to like drive a boat.
I'm captain now.
I'm assuming you just go vroom and then turn.
That's exactly how it goes.
Is it like a huge circle, or am I thinking Titanic?
That was one of my notes, though, that like I can't think of ships and not think of Titanic. It's like as soon as they were like, he was like port to starboard or whatever, I was like,
no. So do you know when this took place?
When?
So this has me convinced to never be on a boat in the month of April. They boarded the ship on April 8th and it was all done on April 12th, I think, which was the day the Titanic took off.
I was
just like, oh, I can never be on a boat in April.
The most cursed sea, April 12th.
Do not be on a boat or on a ship. In
close
a,
to water. Don't even look at a boat. Don't even think about a boat.
Don't take a bath. Just take a shower.
It should be safe, still waters for the month of April. Or at least until after the 15th. You know, the first half of the month, just take it off. Let the ocean be still.
Yay. Oh, my God.
Well, not sailing in April. Once I get my boat.
Oh, so the like leafy plant that they were eating throughout, it's called cat. It's K-H-A-T and it's a caffeine stimulant.
Did you say caffeine stimulant?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. That's why they were like, that's all you have left. Because I mean, there must have been some kind of a addiction to it, like a caffeine.
Like your coffee in the morning.
Withdrawal. After so many days.
Ooh. I was really happy that I did not know how this was going to end, because I just remember hearing about this whenever it was happening at the time, but I didn't know any specifics or any of the details. So it was nice so I can just like experience it via the film.
So do you want a fun history fact?
Yeah, give me.
So it wasn't the real ship used in the movie, but the Navy ship that rescued Captain Phillips was the USS Bainbridge, named after a Captain Bainbridge, whose crew and himself were captured by pirates in the Barbary Wars. And I think it was like one of the last ships, U.S. ships, to ever be boarded by pirates until this incident. So this was kind of a fun payback for the Bainbridge.
Weird.
They got to be the rescuees instead of the detainees.
People needing rescue.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I thought that was fun. Like, they got to go in and save the day.
You know what was interesting? The music at the end, whenever, like, the ship's sailing away or whatever, it kind of sounded like the music from Inception, where it goes, like, it had, like, a crescendo and then a decrescendo or whatever. And it was, like, ooh, and then, and whatever. I don't know how to explain it, but it sounded very similar to that, to that Inception ending song, when it's, like, it pushes in and then pulls out and whatever.
Like the greenhouse effect, of it. Like.
Yeah, that thing. It's interesting. I don't know. I don't know technical things about music.
You said decrescendo. That's a musical
word. I remember one vocabulary word from Fire.
Crescendo, decrescendo. Yeah, you got it.
So apparently there was a version of the movie where at one point they cut to Captain Phillips' wife learning about all of what's happening and watching the footage of what's going on, but they felt that it took away too much from what was actually happening.
Yes, that was
the correct choice. Yeah,
the correct editing choice, because it's more so like whenever there's several times where he's asking about like his family, like, does my family know? Do they know I'm okay? Do they know where I'm at? Whatever, and then he's writing his like farewell letter to his family or whatever.
That was also added for that, dramatic effect.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But like that was much more effective than like if it had cut away, because it did such a good job of, even with the commercials, like having you be sucked into the story. The editing did really well in that.
And it kept it feeling isolated.
Right. Yeah. And so that was much more effective for the story versus like, let's pull out and come back and whatever. Because even the times when they're like, the other crew members are like hiding in the boat, you don't really spend a lot of time with them. It's just cut away in regards to the captain. And same thing when like they're going to rescue him, it's just like the technicalities of like, okay, we got to see how we're gonna rescue this guy, you know. So it was all still cohesive to the story.
Do you want to go through the nominations?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, all right. So let's see. We'll start with best film editing. We just talked about it. So I agree.
Is this better than American Hustle? Yes.
Yes.
And editing wise, yes.
Oh, we haven't seen the other ones yet. So
this one was edited with a purpose.
Yeah, with intention for sure. Okay, sound mixing. What do you think? Sound mixing.
Sure. I mean, they had the ocean and all that water.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it was fine.
These sound categories, I'm really bad at knowing if it's good or not. If it's not obvious, I don't know. So
yeah, I just try to think of like, I'm the same way, but I'll try to think of if there's anything extraordinary they had to put up with. Like, is it a war? Yeah. And they were on the ocean the whole time. So like, and it was filmed on the ocean. So I would imagine like.
I think
that's a task.
Probably with this, it's more so. They spent a lot of time in the lifeboat, and so the sound hitting back and forth, because it was like a metal boat, so like everything that is touched every time they step, it's like a lot of noise. It's very noisy.
Okay, see, I didn't even think about that. Same with the sound editing?
So I guess
in regards to that's good. Okay, so then we're going to go to adapted screenplay. I believe it's based on his book, right?
Is it
his book? Hmm.
Well, we didn't read the book, but sure.
Yeah, but Billy Ray Cyrus. I mean, not Cyrus.
Billy Ray.
So good for that adapted screenplay.
Good job, Billy.
Okay, so best supporting actor.
Other than the first scene in the beginning with Bad Dad.
Well, okay, so maybe
Billy Ray
didn't win.
Yeah. Billy Ray's just good at like intense stuff versus like. Although, if you're saying there's a lot of improv there, again, you know, Boo Boo creates problems with what.
David
counts as a screenplay and what's credited to the actors.
Yeah, what? Maybe he's good at like the technical jargon.
Maybe. Yeah. That's you're probably right.
Yeah.
Because
and, like shaping it.
The plot.
Or how to say it and where how to phrase it, all that stuff. Because I'm the captain now, it's like iconic line.
And he didn't even do that.
Billy Ray didn't do shit for this.
Yeah.
Just kidding. He probably did.
I think it's more so like the plot, the structure.
Yeah.
The specifics are clearly coming to the screen, actors.
Okay, so best supporting actor.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Give me
Penelope.
But he's better than Bradley Cooper, that's for sure.
And I'll see if he's better than the rest of them. But Barkov I have a feeling Opti. About that.
Yeah, so Barkov Opti, good job. I think Tom Hanks should have been in there for Best Actor as well.
For sure.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I don't know who I would take out, but we'll figure that out at the end of these awards.
And then Best Picture. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think it was an engaging film. So what are our rankings on it?
Oh man, this one was hard. I still said American Hustle first and then Captain Phillips. I put American Hustle first because Amy Adams.
Amy Adams.
Good point.
Yeah.
Mine's the opposite. Captain Phillips and then American Hustle. Just because I feel like I cared about what was happening in this movie. American Hustle, I was like, I could have fallen asleep and it would have been fine.
I think for the most part, I did Captain Phillips second just because I rank them as I watch them. And then right after I watched it, I was reading all about the real Captain Phillips. That just put a very sour taste in my mouth. And I was like, I don't like this.
And also, like, American Hustle is kind of based on something real and they did a lot of liberties with that too, so.
That's true, but I didn't read into much of that. So, I mean,
I forgot
fuck them both.
Real.
Yeah.
It seems so, like, fantastical. Like, it's Christian Bale. I put Captain Phillips first because I thought the editing was good and the tension build was good and it was anxiety-inducing in a good way, in an entertaining way.
Yeah.
Am I very stressed? Yeah. Should I probably, like, take a breather? Probably. I probably need to watch something
funny. I watched an episode of The Nanny afterwards, so I felt a little bit better.
I need to do that. I need to watch something funny because I'm still like, oh my gosh, is he going to make it? So just because I didn't know what was going to happen. I was like, for a minute there, I was like, this bitch is going to die. Like, they're not going to survive him.
I didn't know what was going to happen either. So I was like, see, because like the same with you, I remember hearing on the news, but not really knowing the outcome of it. So I was thinking, is he going to die? Is he going to die? What's going to happen?
Like, didn't remember from last time?
No, the first time I watched it.
Oh, okay.
When I first watched it, because I rented it, I remember. I went to Redbox and I got it. And I was like, this is so much better than I thought it was going to be. Because I just happened to be like, easy Tom Hanks, like, it's fine.
But it was like much more intense than that.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I finally got to see the iconic... I'm the captain now.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it'll go first over American Hustle, not American Sniper.
And
for Barkov.
And Tom Hanks was having a good year because this is also the same year that in Saving Mr. Banks came out. I think he did a really good job in that, too. He was Mr. Walt Disney.
I have not seen that.
It's a very good movie.
You guys watched it together, right?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh.
He's very good in the movie. But really, it's Emma Thompson's movie.
Who was also snubbed.
Girl, yeah.
Okay, I want to watch this now.
I'm going to talk about this real quick now because I'm looking at this note and I feel like I need to. You know who also was snubbed this year? Allison Janney for The Way, Way Back.
I was just going to tell you, it came out this year, and we're going to have to rewatch.
I know. I already have the DVD pulled out.
That's going to be our movie forever, BT Dubs. You know what else came out this year? Beautiful Creatures.
Shut up. No, it didn't. Snubbed for Best Picture.
Best script. Is that the screenplay? Oh,
best my God. Best visual effects and...
I know.
Yikes. All of it.
Best supporting actress, Viola Davis. Is that her in there?
Yeah, and supporting actress, Emmy Rossum.
I forgot.
Who?
Emmy Rossum.
Yeah.
Oh, Emmy Rossum. That's supporting actor Jeremy Irons and his terrible accent.
No, that was his whole thing. He was trying to do a different accent every scene. And
so then he succeeded.
What was it? Alden Ehrenreich? That's his name?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I knew him before, like, he was everywhere.
Yeah, we did.
I was all about it.
I was crushing on him before he was solo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was really... What was the girl's name? Something Eve or... Alice or something? The main girl?
I don't remember.
They really thought that was going to take off, and it didn't.
They thought they were going to get, like, a four-part series.
I think there's, like, six books in the series. I think I read the first one. I don't remember anymore.
To be fair, it came out, like, towards the end of all of the the teen, like Hunger Games and mm-hmm. Twilight was over. And the then, wave. Yeah, it came out towards the end of it. And it was not strong enough to keep the wave going.
Well, this was around the same time.
Alice Engelhart. Engelhart.
Well, towards the end of it, because Catching Fire came out, and then the two Mockingjay came out later, and those were still really popular. So maybe the thing is like, it just wasn't a good movie. Beautiful Creatures. Like, it just wasn't.
I just remember you guys forcing me to, like, watch it, and I was like, oh,
it was okay. The movie experience.
I know. I was just like, oh, they're recommending it, so it's gonna be good.
Also, because like you watch terrible things.
I do, and I love terrible trash. I watch Gossip Girl. Come on, it's Gossip Girl.
Which I watched. Are you caught up on the news? That would have been a contention for this year, so I'm gonna
share that
watch
with you.
Those. Yeah, I'll share those with you later. But yeah, Captain Phillips. It was I recommend it if you want your heart out of your chest.
You want Miss Travis? Go for
it. It's a fine movie.
Yeah. I should have asked this beforehand, but next time we do this, I'm going to make sure to ask you to rank your favorite Tom Hanks, your favorite top three top Tom Hanks performances.
Okay.
Are you trying to kill us?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do now because Anna's going to freak out. I can see her stress like mounting. And so not right now because I know it hurts you, but next time I'm going to prepare.
We'll have that ready. Okay.
Yeah. So, also, before we end, I just want to give a shout out to India, because I was looking at our stats on the thing, and India is our number two country
that for listeners.
Us. Yeah, so like the U.S. is 50%, right? India is 33%. That's pretty cool.
Who is listening to us? Hi guys, can you like tweet us or like leave us a review? Let us talk to you.
Yeah, chat us up, man.
Oh my god,
in the pool.
That's wild.
After that is Germany and then the UK.
If you're living in Germany and the UK and you want to like invite us over, like we're down for that.
So yeah, I just want to give a shout out to India for listening to us.
So
anybody, we don't know you, but we'd like
thanks,
to.
India.
Anybody from outside of the U.S. You want to be friends? Let's go.
We're looking for getaways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like run. Like we're looking to run away.
Yes. Get us out of here. Cool. Yeah. Our top cities are Chicago, San Diego, and.
That's a city in India.
Sri Kalman. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to.
We're dumb Americans. Forgive us.
Please.
Actually, maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah, don't let us get away with this shit. Terrible call Americans here.
Call us out. We deserve it.
But cool.
Yeah. Wow. So hi, India. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
That's all I got. Anybody else?
All right. We'll see you the next episode.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.